This is Fresh Air. There's an unwritten rule in the acting world: never work with animals or children. Mark Lewis has broken half that law two times. A couple of years ago, he made a film called Cane Toads, An Unnatural History. This was not your typical warm and furry animal film. It was part documentary and part wisecrack. It turns out that back in the 30s, 100 of these toads were imported to Australia to eat the grubs that were destroying the country's sugarcane crop. Well, these toads wanted no part of it. They ignored those grubs and proceeded to multiply. Australia is now brimming with these bug-eyed amphibians. Mark Lewis has taken another offbeat look at another Australian menace, dogs. The wonderful world of dogs is as much a look at dog detractors and dog lovers as dogs themselves. The film gives the viewer a rather jaundiced view of suburbanites as seen through their best friend's eyes. Although much of the film deals with the interaction between dogs and people, I told Mark Lewis that the dogs look happiest when they were with each other.
Yeah, well, dogs are very simple instincts and very simple motivations. I mean, all they sort of really look forward to, I think, is food and sex and running around with their pals. And I think they probably are their happiest at that stage. They're roaming. And in Australia, we have a term for dogs like that. They're called latchkey dogs. Dogs that sort of disappear during the day when their owners are at work, and they get up to all sorts of mischief. And by the time the owner comes back at night, the dog's sitting there in the living room looking very innocent, and you never know where and what they've been doing.
Well, let's meet someone that's in your film, and perhaps you can tell us a little bit about Sue Cruikshank and her Chihuahua Pebbles.
Well, Sue Cruikshank is one of the interviewees in the film, and she's got a delightful little dog called Pebbles, and she loves it very much.
Her very favourite food is McDonald's. She really loves the Big Mac and the cheeseburger. She likes that. And that spicy rice orizo you get in a packet and you boil it with water, I make that for her. She loves that. She really likes it. I think being Mexican, the dogs like the spicy food. And with the Big Mac, she really loves... I think she knows that I'm talking about Big Mac. She knows I'm talking about it. She just knows everything, don't you, Pebbles?
Well, Pebbles has a difficult adventure in life, is that right?
One of the stories that Sue has about Pebbles, of course, is the fact that Pebbles was attacked by a pelican and taken by a pelican at a beach in New South Wales, Australia. And Pebbles was grabbed by the pelican and the pelican flew away and made off with it. And... that's the sad but true story of Pebbles the Chihuahua.
Now tell us about Fugly, who has the honor of being called the most incarcerated dog in Australian history. What are Fugly's crimes?
Well, Fugly's crime is really being on the street without a leash, or in other words, roaming. And there's a law in Australia that says a dog can't roam. Now, the story of Fugly was a particularly interesting one because it brought up a whole lot of different attitudes about the dog laws that were made at the time. It brought up different questions about the dogs themselves. For instance, we find out that when Ross, Fugly's owner, is away at work, Fugly kept on finding a way of getting out of the backyard or the front yard of the house and going off and... having a relationship with all these different people who lived nearby. There was the local garage, there was the bottle shop, there was a butcher, and there are different people that Fugly used to go and visit during the day when his owner was at work.
Well, there definitely were the Fugly fans and the Fugly detractors.
That's right. And part of Fugly's story is the different attitudes that grew up. And, for instance, we find out that one of the people that, that Fugly made... enemies with was a local alderman called Harold Scrooby. And I think Fugly's problem was that Fugly went down to Harold's house, which was not that far away, and crapped on Harold's tennis court. So this incurred Harold's ire, so to speak, and Harold saw to it that Fugly kept on getting locked up. And then Harold, through the local council, decided to push the dog vote or the anti-dog vote and used Fugly as his scapegoat.
And a lot of this movie has to do with dog defecation and all the euphemisms for dog defecation, calling cards and other things.
It's a big problem, and I'm sure it's a big problem here as anywhere else. Some countries obviously enforce it better than others, and we discover some of the different tactics and methods that people try to stop dogs from crapping on their lawns. And one of these people is a lady I interviewed called Lynn Lynham, who goes out of her way, really, to find different methods to stop the dogs.
Well, let's hear what Lynn Lynham did.
I rang up the health inspector. He said to ring the cleansing department, so I rang the cleansing department. They said to ring Parks and Recreation. Parks and Recreation put me back to cleansing department. They suggested two things I could try. One was ammonia, one was canine pepper. So I tried the ammonia. I've sprinkled about a dozen bottles down, but that didn't do any good. We tried mothballs, so I got dozens of packets of mothballs and sprinkled them out the front, and that didn't deter the dogs much. Got a whole carton of canine pepper and sprinkled that out, and that really didn't do much. We tried mineral turpentine. We tried fennel. That didn't work.
So who eventually won this Cold War?
The dogs. I'm afraid Lynn Lynham really couldn't crack it. She really couldn't find a way of stopping those dogs coming. So we leave Lynn in the film ringing up the council and asking them to replace all her grass around her house with concrete, because concrete, it's easier to wash the dog dirt off.
Filmmaker Mark Lewis is my guest. His film, The Wonderful World of Dogs, is a hilarious look at the relationship between humans and their best friends. More after a short break. This is Fresh Air. Filmmaker Mark Lewis is my guest. Do you get letters from animal defamation organizations? And I'm thinking that you don't have an adoring approach to dogs. You have an interested, ironic approach to dogs. But I think some people can be offended by that.
Yeah, I'm sure they can. I mean, let's face it. I mean, dogs, I try to be sympathetic, but, you know, if you look at the film, I mean, it's not necessarily a film for dog lovers. I've tried to look at both sides of the question, and, you know, dogs do cause a lot of problems. They cause accidents, they bark, they wake people up, they're a nuisance, all sorts of things go on. And I'm not sort of preaching to the converted when I made this film. I'm trying to say that there are two sides to the story, and I'm trying to be objective about it.
Are you a fan of documentaries? And the reason I ask that is that you also seem to be taking a rather ironic approach to documentaries, which tend to be rather solemn, rather didactic, and considered nutritious, considered to be good for us.
Well, you're right. I mean, documentaries, I do, in some ways, feel like taking the mickey out of documentaries, because documentaries for too long have been, like you said, didactic, boring, solemn, whatever, so concerned with a message that no one really cares about watching them. And I think what excites me about documentaries is that the documentary genre, you can do anything with it. It can be drama, it can be animation, it can be special effects, it can be whatever you want it to be. And that's the beauty of documentaries. The worst thing about documentaries is the term documentary. Mm-hmm. And I think in many audiences' minds, it implies something that's going to be boring. So I've tried to fight that, and I've tried to combine elements of information with elements of entertainment. And so that really to try and find an audience for this type of film.
What about narration? And I think that many documentaries, the part of the message is in the narration, and you seem to eschew that.
Part of that is I feel that the characters themselves should tell the story. And I think it's much more, I mean, I just don't like an unknown, unseen character telling me something. I just find that, I just don't like it. It's just something I don't like in when I go and see these types of films. And so I try to get around that by having the characters tell the story.
Well, I found in watching your film that I didn't know what was real and what wasn't. Who was an actor, who wasn't an actor? Who was pulling my leg, who was really having a problem with a dog?
Yeah, well, what do you want me to say? That's true. I think what I found with the cane toad film, for instance, was that one of the reactions I had to the film was that a lot of people would come up to me after a screening or write to me or whatever and say, you know, where did you get these great actors?
Right.
And I, you know, like I couldn't believe it because an audience would just assume that these great real characters were actors. So with the Dogs film, I decided to take it a step further, and that was to mix, you know, real people with, I guess, actors. And that partly came about because quite a few stories I'd find about dogs couldn't be sourced. You couldn't go to Mrs. Smith and interview her to get that story. But I think the important thing is as long as the integrity of the truth is there, that's what really counts. And I don't think you can do it with very serious issue type films, but you can certainly do it films that are more whimsical, like especially like The Wonderful World of Dogs is.
Well, your two films having to do with the cane toads and then the dogs and two species which seem to be giving Australia some problems, are you going to go back to this theme again? And are there other animals that are wreaking havoc on the continent of Australia?
Yeah, I don't really... I'm not really partial. I mean, I'm not making the films, I guess, because I'm a big animal filmmaker. I'm making the films more because I like the drama and the stories that come out of or that are based on the animals. So it's hard to know where I'll go next. I mean, it's incredible when I travel around the United States, the things I find. I mean, the fire ants in Texas and, you know, you hear people saying, well, if you feed the fire ants grits, that gets rid of the fire ants. I mean, Florida has cane toads itself. There are all sorts of the squirrels on the East Coast there. I mean, a lot of people have problems with squirrels getting into their bird feeders and try different tactics, or the gophers in the lawn. There are great stories everywhere with animals. That's what I'm attracted to, really, is just the dramatics of the story more than the animals themselves. So there's a wealth of material out there. And at the moment, I'm actually working on something about insects. And it was prompted by a story in the Los Angeles Times here where a lady who was so, how can I put it, so paranoid or sort of so hassled by the roaches in her apartment that she kept on spraying different sorts of insecticides in the apartment. And one day she walked into the apartment after spraying it and she lit a cigarette and it immediately caused the apartment to blow up.
Is she dead?
No, she survived. She was put into hospital, but the apartment burnt down to the ground. But the good thing was it got rid of the roaches. So there are all sorts of stories, and I'm working on them.
Mark Lewis' film, The Wonderful World of Dogs, can be seen soon at Film Forum 1 in New York City. It will also play in San Francisco and Seattle and is available on home video.
Come on, kids. Din-dins.
This is Fresh Air.